This is the Pacifica National Board meeting of May 10th, 2012, convening at 5:43 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:43 p.m. Eastern Time. Summer Reese, Chair, Bill Crozier, Vice Chair, Afia Juan Gaza, Secretary. Madam Secretary, could you call the roll, please? Yeah, with us? No, perhaps not. Bill, are you able to call the roll?
Okay. Give me a second. Okay, Ken Aaron?
Here.
Alvin Alsame?
Here.
Teresa Allen?
Present.
Nia Bediaco? Can't hear you, Nia. Heard you a minute ago.
Present. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, I got you. Thank you. Wesley Bassoon?
Here.
Okay. Carolyn Burden?
Here.
Lydia Berzon?
Here.
Bill Crozier's here. Kathy Davis?
Here.
Evelyn Gold? Can't hear you, Evelyn. I'm going alphabetical by last name, so you know when to unmute yourself. Heather Gray?
Here.
Campbell Johnson?
Present.
Ali Lexa?
Here.
Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Privis?
Here.
Summer Reese?
Present.
Marcel Reed? Can't hear you, Marcel. George Ryder? Can't hear you, George. Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
Dan Siegel?
Here.
Alex Steinberg?
Present.
Andrea Turner? Can't hear you, Andrea. Arlene Engelhart?
Present.
Laverne Williams?
Present.
Is Andy Gold present? Probably not for the open session. John Gary?
Present.
Secretary? Okay, so we're missing Revelin, Afia, Marcel, and Andrea. Are any of you there? Okay, well, we have quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair and Secretary Pro Tem. Well, we've got our recording secretary. We'll take the minutes, and hopefully Afia will join us shortly. Okay, so I was taking a look. Again, as I was telling some people before we had quorum, I wasn't able to edit the agenda, and so we've sent out the previous agenda, but we've taken care of several things off. Amazing. We have a preliminary draft audit to review, and the auditor can review the things to avail ourselves of addressing those issues. This is not a continuation meeting. This is the first meeting of the month, so there should be... Okay, so I would advise, again, I hate to put off approval of minutes again, but I do believe the secretary should be present. I do think we need to deal with this, but I don't think we need to do it tonight. A brief executive director's report and chief financial officer's report, and I do have a report out from our executive session last week. And then if we were to follow what was next on the agenda, we would come to one motion from the Financial Recovery Audit Task Force, then the Coordinating Committee, which could bring us up to speed on the pending in-person meeting. I'm not sure. I have no motions listed from Affiliates Task Force or Archives, and that would bring us straight into Audit Committee, which would allow us to just segue into dealing with our auditor and having him do the open session report, and then there were quite a few matters he wished to discuss in closed session, so we would want to go to closed session at that point. And for our very next meeting, the Elections Committee is the very next thing on the agenda after audit, and I believe it's a natural flow since elections cost quite a bit of money, and the audit is telling us what our most recent audited financial condition is. I think it might help to inform our decisions as to how we go forward with the elections. If we were to, and I don't think there's enough time probably to give justice to both subjects this evening. So I would recommend that we deal with an in-depth report from our auditor this evening, and elections would be the next thing anyway on the agenda that We could consider the election committee recommendation and motion and do all that at our very next meeting. It's only a recommendation, but I think it might help us to get through the agenda. So,
point of information, Madam Chair.
Yes, Campbell, please.
In regard to the discussion from the auditor, will that encompass the financial recovery plan?
Well, he certainly had comments on the financial recovery plan for the audit committee 2 days ago, so we spent almost 2 hours with him. So I would imagine he'd have he definitely had input on that subject.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, this is Lydia.
Hi, Lydia. Go ahead, please.
Hi. Okay. So at the in-person meeting, the auditor addressed us in public session. Are there any portions that can be addressed in public session?
I personally found it to be rather minimal. We spent less than half an hour probably in public session and more like an hour and a half. Because it's a draft audit, he was still getting some data on Tuesday when we spoke with the audit committee.
Right.
I would not be comfortable if we had the entire discussion with the auditor in closed session because we will need to meet again to approve the audit. So, it was minimal.
My follow-up question is on the agenda. As in terms of the discussion about the elections, I assume that has to take place in open session.
I would think so. I would think probably the aspects of our finances, some of them we might wish to discuss in closed session. That's why I was kind of suggesting that the elections be at the next meeting so that we can get the financial discussion in hand and address anything that's coming.
Proposing a special meeting, I take it, given that we're already well into the...
I'm happy to do so. I'm happy to meet every week if necessary until we get our stuff handled, frankly. So, yes, it would be fine with me if there was no objection to have an extra meeting. Otherwise, the next meeting's in 2 weeks. So that's I'm open
okay.
to anybody's motion on that.
Okay.
So, thank you.
Bill,
go ahead.
I know you'd like to have our secretary here, but, we keep putting this off the minutes, and I don't want to – this isn't a motion yet, but if people don't object – maybe we could just approve all of them, and then if there's corrections, we could make those later. I don't want to open this up to a huge discussion, though. But
I don't necessarily expect. I did send out reminders earlier on for people to please correspond with both the recording and the board secretary if they had any discrepancies or issues, and I did not see any correspondence flying back and forth with corrections. So they are correctable later. If you want to make such a motion, please feel free to do so.
Okay, I move that we approve all the open session minutes that were sent to us by John Gary today. It was yesterday.
Teresa, I'll second that.
Thank you. And for the record, those minutes
This is Ken with a point of order. We haven't approved the agenda yet.
Okay, thank you, Ken. All right, you know what, Bill, so we'll reserve that. You'd like to put approval of minutes on the agenda with the rest of the stuff at the front end of it. So, okay. So we'll come back to that motion in a second. All right, folks, so is there any objection to my proposed agenda, which would be, okay, as it's been amended, would be approval of minutes, ED's report, CFO report, board chair's report out, and then we would jump straight to what was next on the agenda, which was one motion from FRAT, coordinating committee update on the in-person meeting. I don't see any reports from affiliates or archives, so we could go straight to audit, and that will bring us to talking with our auditor about where we're at, and then we'll shift into closed session at the point that he says that's the end of what I can say publicly. And then I can entertain a motion for a special meeting just to deal with the elections issue, or it can be elections is the very next committee on the agenda after audit. Anyway, so it could also just be the first order of committee business at the next meeting in 2 weeks. So I'm open to either one.
Tracy, for the stack, I have a suggested modification.
Yes, please, Tracy.
It seems to me since we're 9 days past our bylaws election deadline that perhaps for time-sensitive reasons it might be appropriate to swap out the audit committee report and the key elections committee report so we get to the elections material in open session tonight. I don't think we can put it off for 2 weeks, so I'm suggesting that we flip those two and then move to the audit once we've at least had a brief report from the elections committee.
Okay, well, you know, that might work another way because the Elections Committee has a motion pending. We could vote on it, and I do think most of what the auditor had to say, frankly, was closed session material at this point where he's at, you know, so I don't object to that. Does anybody else object to that?
No, I would second that, Carolyn, here. Thank you, Tracy.
Okay, cool. Okay, so does that work for everyone? And then we can get on with quickly conducting some business? Okay, fantastic. Thank you. All right, so now, Bill, would you like to make that motion to approve the unapproved minutes, please?
Sorry, I was muted. Yes, I move that we approve all of the open session minutes that our recording secretary sent to us. It was early Wednesday morning, my time. You want the dates?
Yes, if you could, please, for the record. Thank you.
Okay. January 5th of this year, January 12th, January 27th, January 28th, January 29th, January 30th, February 29th, March 22nd, April 12th, April 26th, May 2nd, and May 25th of last year.
What about the December 8th? Is the December 8th was in the first batch?
There was an executive session one in this set that was sent, but I'm only moving the open session minutes right now.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I spoke out of turn somewhere. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Nia. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I thought that the December 8th was open session, but Bill said it's executive. So as long as we didn't forget about that.
Okay, the 8th and the 8th were all open session, correct?
Right. I'm just looking at the list that was sent to us early Wednesday morning or Tuesday night for some of you.
As long as, and John always separates the open and closed. Okay.
Right.
Madam Chair, this is Lydia.
Yes, hi, Lydia. Go ahead.
Hi. I did see your email because I wasn't able to open the zip.
You weren't able to open the zip. Okay, neither was I. The one from Wednesday. I'm going back to the previous email that he had sent a minute ago.
Right.
I suggest here, may I make a suggestion, Bill? Let me modify this because I honestly couldn't open the zip. Other people couldn't open the zip. I don't think we should refer to minutes that were sent on Wednesday. If you go to the agenda we just sent out, I think they end March 22nd is the last set that probably anybody was actually functionally able to read. I'm not comfortable approving things that I know people weren't able to read properly.
Okay.
So could we modify it to approve everything
March 22nd?
After? I think everything through March 22nd, because that was the last, that's where what's on this open session agenda. Does that sound good?
That's fine with me. Just when we make some progress on these.
Yeah, that way we only have the last two meetings. All right, very good, and I'm sure John will resend that to us. Is there any objection to that? Well, your second was Teresa Allen, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and hearing minutes approved. Okay, thank you, everybody. Thank you, Bill. All right, Executive Director's Report would be next on tap. Are you ready, Arlene?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead, please. Thank you.
Okay, I had it muted, and I was calling to you wildly earlier, and then I finally realized I was muted. Sorry. First thing on my report is I did talk with Ross Wisdom today and with CPB about the issue of extensions. And interestingly enough, we've gotten two extensions on this year's audit from CPB, and at this point they're confused whether we're actually into a third extension or whether the second extension goes till May 31st. But the max on extensions is 4. So we're talking about, they thought a deadline of June 30th if we get 4 extensions. And a 4th extension does get reported to the Inspector General's Office of CPB, or the first 3 do not. We've got absolutely no problems until May 31st and possibly until June 30th. And I'm supposed to get a final answer on that tomorrow. We will not receive our spring CPB funds until after they receive the audit. So the funds that we normally receive in April or May will be held up until they get the 2011 audit. And then that 2011 audit is also necessary for the funding for the fiscal year 2013, which comes in October, November, and then again in the spring. And it also is the going concern issue could cause them to double back and do some more audit on the organization. We're already in the midst of a CPB audit, so it probably won't make a great deal of difference. On other fronts, I was in Los Angeles this week. I met with the general manager there about cuts that we need to see, and I'm expecting a report from him, a preliminary tomorrow, and some information within the next 10 days in order to begin to take action, not just begin, but in order to take action there. And I'll be meeting with New York next week and Washington the week after. In terms of the election, after a great deal of discussion with many of you, I'm not part of governance, so I'll do whatever you all decide and carry out your will. But my recommendation is that we do some kind of postponement. I think that would at least help us financially, and it would also make it more feasible in terms of a better chance of running smoothly. I have put out the word to the stations to begin to work, not just begin, but to make sure that their lists are in order, and we'll be getting final instructions to them. Of course, those lists are dependent on getting at least the donors from this fund drive into the mix, so those lists can't be finalized until they finish the fund drives that are ongoing this month. And that's about it. The other things are continuing, and you know about from other reports.
Okay. Thank you, Arlene. Questions?
Madam Chair, this is Lydia. If we're doing questions.
Alex, on the stack, please.
All right, and we'll take questions, but let's please try to be really succinct tonight, only because we have the auditor and our attorney and everybody joining us in the not-too-distant future here. Go ahead, Lydia and then Alex.
Yes, Arlene, did you say you met with the general manager at KPFK regarding cuts?
Yes, I did.
What kind of cuts?
How we're going to make up...
I hadn't heard about that.
How we're going to make up for the shortfall there, because you're about about $200,000 below budgeted expectations at this point. We have to do something to make up for that. So we worked hard on that this week.
Okay. And have you, I know the Elections Committee had already set up the other folks to join you in interviewing the supervisor. Have those dates been set up?
No, they have not been set up yet. I'm waiting for some word from this committee as to what we're doing about the election, so I have some idea what I'm hiring. It's pretty hard to hire somebody when you don't know how you're proceeding.
Thank you, Lydia. Alex?
Okay. Arlene, about your remark about postponing the elections, just a couple of questions about that. First, I had consulted with our legal counsel about what some of the implications might be as far as postponing them. Do you have any estimates of how much we could save if we, say, postpone it for 3 months or postpone it for 6 months? I assume it's not so much saving but cash flow, since it's still going to cost the same whenever we have the election, more or less. Are you thinking of a specific time frame for postponing it? Are we talking about, say, 4 weeks, 3 months, 6 months? Is this going to curious what your thoughts are on this, if there's been some discussion with the legal counsel about it.
I've had some discussion with the legal counsel, and he agreed with me that, overall it sounded like a good idea. You'd be better off to ask him specifically, what he thinks. word that's come back to me from several legal sources, but this is not an official opinion for the organization, is that our ability to continue financially is the single most important thing, and that if there were issues, almost any a court would agree that that's first and foremost. Tracy had pulled up some, and I haven't checked that with an attorney that one could postpone up to 2 months, according to what she pulled up, without being in any legal jeopardy. Sometimes we find out that the things that those of us that are not actually attorneys pull up have slightly different implications, so we need to bounce that off an attorney before we accept that as the gospel truth. My preference would be a four-month delay. That would get us beyond the holidays, which is what I hate to run into, but we've got real issues both in terms of cash flow and in terms of covering it well on the airwaves if we are trying to do this during the election season, and I don't think it's ever good to do something like this during the holiday season.
Summer, this is Nia.
Thank you, Arlene. Go ahead, Nia.
Arlene, when you say you'll postpone in 4 months, are you implying that you'll have the $200,000 to have the elections 4 months later?
No, I'm just implying that we would do a special mailing, trying to get people to help fund them, that we would have had some fund drives after that and hopefully made some cuts such that we would begin to have a little better cash flow. But are we going to be in a position that we've got $200,000 to spend on an election? In reality, no.
Ken to the stack.
Go ahead, Ken.
Could we please have a time certain on the different sections of the agenda? I have no questions.
Okay. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Arlene right now? This is Teresa.
Yes, I have one. Leslie.
Teresa for the stack. Teresa, Wesley, I'm put myself on stack. I have one question.
Evelyn, I'm here. I've been on the call for a minute. Just didn't want to interrupt.
Hi, Evelyn. Did you want to be on stack or just letting us know you're here?
No. I just wanted to, I didn't want to interrupt. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks. Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Couldn't hear you. Go ahead.
I guess this is a statement couched as a question. I mean, based upon the vehement reaction to the possibility of delaying the recall election, which is going to cost us over $20,000, I can just imagine that politically trying to postpone...
Hello, this is Ross Wisdom joining the call.
Hello?
Hello?
Thank you, Ross. We haven't quite gotten to the audit portion. Is it possible I could call you back in about 15 minutes?
Okay, fine.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. And Summer, it's Andy Gold on the line.
Hi, Andy. You know, Andy, probably you could also take about 15 minutes, I would say. We're not quite there yet.
Okay. I'll check back.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay. Go ahead, Drew.
I can just imagine, based upon the vehemence with which certain people use things politically when there was an attempt to consider postponing the recall election, I can just imagine that there will be a rallying point for some people politically to say, oh, Pacific National Board, you people who don't want this election, you just want to be in power another 4 months, or what are you trying to do? And so I'm assuming that we will have to have, 100% approval to postpone an election? Or have you given some thought, Arlene, to how we could deal with that politically? Because, to me, that really affects the credibility of the foundation, the statements that people have made about trying to second-guess why the National Board, has attempted various things. You know, and, I mean, the whole delay about the recall...
Thank you.
Really affected credibility.
Arlene?
Yeah. I've thought about that. I'm sure there will be some that will use it. I'm not sure that it will be quite the political football that the recall has been. It may be. I may be underestimating. On the other side of the coin, I'm not underestimating the seriousness of our financial state, and that, to me, is our answer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Marcel to the back.
Martel, okay, folks, I got Wesley.
Point of order, I call the agenda. If we just talk about this all night, we're wasting money on the auditor and the council.
Okay,
this is chatting. We're just chatting here.
Okay, so let's make these the last two people. We've got Wesley and Marcel, and I had a question, but go ahead, Wesley.
Yes, Arlene, when you originally proposed that we do delay this election, you had mentioned that KPFT was having a transmitter problem from the... Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Excuse me, Arlene. Now that our transmitter is working again and we're up to the power level that we previously had, and since we have... no longer have to pay property taxes, we're flush like $20,000 right there. And I was wondering, is this a factor now in your decision? Because I believe the insurance company should cover all of this. If not, would you please explain to me what's up? Thank you.
Well, number one, you're not up to full power. You're at about 70-something percent power, which is great, but it's certainly not full power. Number two, it's very fragile, and the last word that I had from the engineer, which was today, was that you do need a new transmitter, that it could go again almost any time. And number three, it hasn't been determined yet whether the insurance company is going to accept that as lightning damage or not. We'll be certainly fighting to get that accepted. But that would be the only way that they would be paying for it. If it's quote-unquote wear and tear, that's going to be a different situation. So that's my best answer to those three questions, but we have been actively dealing with them on a daily basis.
Thank you, because I don't believe we were at 100% power at any time.
No, but it's less, and you have to operate at least 90% power or notify the FCC. We have notified the FCC that you're operating below that, but you're not back up to the operating power that doesn't require special permit. You're also without your HD stations, and we can't bring them back up with the current transmitter, and that's a loss of some significant income from Rice University.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Marcel?
I'll pass. Thank you.
Okay. I get pass also because I'm going to raise the issue I'm concerned with locally, and we'll see what happens. And I'll raise it at the next meeting if it's not satisfactory. All right. So very good. I might propose that we not do the CFO's report simply because we have the auditor on standby on East Coast time, and he's going to cover a lot of stuff. I don't know. Or LeBron, do you want to do a short report? I'm afraid we're going to get into Q&A on each section. Never move forward.
This is Lauren. Yeah, I have sent out the report, so if I read it, I'm sure everyone is familiar with it. And just to read it online, it's one sheet, so that would be all.
Okay. Do you want to do that?
Sure. Can you hear me now?
Sure. Go ahead, please.
Okay. This is LeBron Williams, CFO of Pacifica Foundation. The report is on the results for the first half for 2012, and the Pacifica Foundation shows a net income of approximately $400,000 for the first half of the fiscal year 2012. This is a deterioration from the first quarter by nearly $150,000 and from the prior fiscal year by nearly half a million dollars. The results compared to budget are nearly $250,000 worse, due primarily to the following: revenue, listener support, and other revenue at all the stations with the exception of KPFT and WBAI. Expenses. KPFK salaries plus an unidentified salary budget adjustment. KPFK community costs are higher without the revenue offset that should appear in the month of May. WBAI consultants and legal costs plus premiums costs from third-party vendors or higher. The prior year's experience over the second half of the year is always a downward trend in listener support revenue and net income. And that's due, of course, to the two major fund drives are held in the first half of the year. So, therefore, the next 6 months are critical to the success of the foundation. The diligence of staff, volunteers, and board is required to return the foundation to solvency and to produce positive working capital for fiscal year 2012. The foundation's results for this first half call for revisiting the strategic planning, continuing careful spending controls, and really providing an arena, though, for the creativity of the staff to end the year with a surplus. All spending through September the 30th is again on hold for discretionary expenditures, and all headcount must be approved in advance by the executive director. The spring fund drives begin in May, and it is critical that listener support income support the spending over the next 6 months. And the foundation must seek to reduce costs as listener support income at this point is lower than budget. And just basically the results for the first half, the revenue total, $6.3 million. It's about $200,000 worse than budget, and actually 2.4% worse than prior year. That's listener support revenue. Total revenue is almost $8 million, which is worse than prior year. Total expenses are $7.5 million, which is slightly worse than budget by about $100,000, and actually worse than prior year. Pacifica headcount at the end of March totaled 158 employees, which equate to 114 full-time equivalent staff persons. Major payables continue to be an issue, and over $1.5 million for the foundation. And in summary, the year-to-date income net income is $400,000, which is $300,000 worse than budget, and reflects a retraction in the prior year performance when net income totaled over $900,000 at the end of March. These results will not stand up to the reduced listener support income, and we now require reductions in spending at KPFA and KPFK, where their year-to-date salaries are worse than budget. So in summary, the results, you know, we have some positive income results, but this is already trending downward from the first quarter. And, again, it's going to require for us to be successful is to revisit the strategic plan, continue the careful spending controls, but, again, to encourage the staff and the foundation to end the year with a surplus. And cash at the end of March total on our general ledger totaled $931,000, almost $1 million, with part of that been restricted of about $300,000. So that's in summary the results briefly for the first half of the year.
Thank you, Laverne.
Okay.
And folks, let's try to keep our questions brief again because we do have our auditor waiting on standby and we still have a couple of matters. Go ahead, Campbell.
I'm sorry, Laverne, when did you say you had sent that out?
I'm sorry, what was your question?
When did you say you had sent this report out?
I said I sent it out about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, the last thing I saw is May 2nd.
I'm sorry?
The last thing I saw is May 2nd.
Okay. Did you see the CFO report at that time?
What do you have in the subject line?
You know, I'm not at my office. I'm actually in New York, so I don't have my computer up. So
all right, is that March what year-to-date performance?
That sounds like it.
Okay, so that was May 1st. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that needs to ask a question at this point? And if not, then we could go to the next portion on the agenda. Okay. Thank you. All right. So the next portion is I report out from our last executive session. Let me just go ahead and pull that up here. And there it is. So this is the report out of our executive session, which was when we met last week on May 2nd. And the language is, whereas numerous members of the Pacifica Foundation have objected to the use of the law firm Jackson Lewis in litigation, it is hereby moved that the Pacifica Foundation wind down current engagements, including consultation services, with the Jackson Lewis firm, given fiscal prudence, and enter into no new engagements. The existing engagements referred to in paragraph 1 of this motion are Mania v. Pacifica, White v. Pacifica, the Dutch matter, and any existing engagements not mentioned here. And that is the end of the report. That was the approved language. I do not need to take any other time with giving anything further for the chair's report for this evening, since we have such limited time available. Next up, I believe, is the FRAC committee motion, and that was rather short. Ken, do you want to go ahead and take that?
I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. If it's in the
okay, I have it. Hold on.
Go ahead.
So I'll go ahead and read it. And 1 second, please. Sorry. Let me mislead by saying I have it right in front of me. Let me open the agenda again. Okay. There it is. All righty. So, right. Okay. Motion, business managers. The lines of authority within network management should be specifically and carefully defined in order to reinforce the position of the CFO in regard to the station business managers in order to ensure the proper financial management of the foundation. Further, the CFO expects business managers to adhere to network-wide reporting standards and schedules. Approved by a vote of 6 yes, 2 no, 1 abstention. Any discussion?
Madam Chair, I call the vote just because of respect for the time. Whether voted up or voted down.
Awesome. Yep. Is there any objection?
Discussion is always in order. You can't call the vote whether there hasn't been a...
So there's an objection to calling the vote. Do you want to withdraw that, Ken, so we don't have to take 10 minutes debating
right.
whether or not to call
I'll
the
withdraw
question?
Calling
cool.
the vote.
Thanks. Let's just rock and roll this. Lydia, did you want to be on the stack?
No, I have questions about it. There were a couple of no votes on there. What were the objections to this motion?
And I'm on frat, and I can't say that I remember. Ken, any recollections?
No, I can't remember why. No.
I have no idea,
to
Lydia.
Get more, I really don't. That was a long time ago.
Point of information. Is this Teresa? Yes. Can we say in an open meeting what their objections were?
Madam Chair, point of information.
Campbell.
Yes, I probably was one of the no votes, but I was not clear on the reading of the motion. If that could be read again, I'd be pleased to provide what my no vote, why I voted no.
Sure. All right, 1 moment, please. Okay. And I can't say I remember voting on this, so maybe I wasn't even there that night. But the lines of authority within network management should be specifically and carefully defined in order to reinforce the position of the CFO in regard to the station business managers in order to ensure the proper financial management of the foundation. Further, the PNB expects business managers to adhere to network-wide reporting standards and schedules. Did that help at all?
Yes, and I can tell you precisely why I was against that, because it the way that it the discussion at least flowed, it sounded as though we would be in violation of a basic management principle in having business managers report to two people. No one should be reporting, you know, in that mm-hmm. kind of structure to two people. They report to the GM, period. And when you put another person in there, certainly the GM should be able to enforce the network-wide rules and regulations insofar as what procedures should be followed. But the way that I had heard and understood the motion is that it began to fuzzy the lines between the GMs and the business managers, and I think that that can be problematic.
Thank you, Campbell. Anybody else have any questions? Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I understand Campbell's concern, but I don't really think it applies here. It doesn't say we're changing the lines of authority. It doesn't say anything like that. It just says that the lines of authority should be specifically and carefully defined and in order to reinforce the relative position of the CFO in regard to the business managers. And, you know, in any organization, even if you have one boss, you frequently have to report or do things with other people. If you have people in receiving, they need to talk to their boss, but they also need to deliver things that come in to whoever's got to go to. And you know, similarly, we need business managers to we need to clarify the relationship. I'll just say that.
Madam Chair, if I could just comment for 1 second.
Oh, but Ken to the stack, and I haven't spoken on it
yet. Campbell, we do have to keep it short.
Sure.
Ken, go ahead.
Okay, we have to have respect for the agenda. I don't want to get into a long debate about this. The point is, as if the CFO is responsible for controlling the implementation of financial regulations and policies and reporting in the network, there must be some line of authority that connects so that the CFO can get compliance on requested reports and implementation. Otherwise, a rogue business manager can defeat the CFO's ability to govern the financial aspects of the network. And that's what's happening, and that happens from time to time. So we just should have it exactly defined and precise. And the business manager works for the general manager, but he's got to report to the CFO and some of his reports. Of course, he reports to the GM, too. But it's just as it states in the motion, lines of authority should be clearly drawn, and the business manager should be held responsible for reporting as required to the CFO.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion, or can we go to a vote?
Let's go to
anybody
a vote.
Okay. All right, so a yes vote would support this motion, a no vote would not. Has Madam Secretary joined us, Afia? Okay. Bill, are you able to call the roll again?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay, so yes will support this motion, a no vote will not. Thank you.
If you can, Aaron?
Yes.
Ivan Azame?
Yes.
Teresa Allen?
Yes.
Nia Bediako?
No.
Leslie Bethune? Can't hear you, Leslie. Carolyn Burden? Can't hear you, Carolyn. Lydia Razon?
Oh, I'm sorry. Carolyn here, yes.
Carolyn votes yes. Okay. Lydia?
No.
Bill Frozier votes yes. Kathy Davis?
Pass.
Revlon Gold? Can't hear you, Revlon. Heather Gray?
Yes. I abstain.
Oh, you abstain? Okay. Heather abstains. Campbell Johnson?
No.
Ali Alexa?
Pass.
Afia Wangaza? Can't hear you, Afia. Laura Pavis?
No.
Some breaches, I guess, not voting. Marcel Reed?
No.
Okay. George Ryder? Can't hear you, George. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Okay. Dan Siegel?
No.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Andrea Turner?
She has to be excused for the evening.
Okay. Let's see. I believe Wesley, we didn't hear from you. Can't hear you, Wesley. Kathy Davis? Oh, Wesley?
Kathy says yes.
Kathy says yes. Revelin Gold?
Abstained.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wrote you down. I wrote down the same for Heather. I'm sorry. Heather, how did you vote?
I voted yes.
Okay. That's what I put down. I put A over it. Sorry. Alexa?
Did you get my vote?
Ali said yes.
Okay, I didn't get you, Wesley.
I abstained.
Okay, Ali voted yes. Afia, I didn't get you, or George, or Andrea. The vote is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yes, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 no. Motion passes.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, motion passes.
We have another motion from the floor.
Can you please repeat the count again on that vote?
10 yes, 6 no, and there are 2 abstentions.
I didn't see another motion from the frat on the agenda. What is it, Ken? I didn't see it there.
I'm sorry. It was the motion about any negotiation for a new lease will include...
I think that was closed session.
That's in closed session? Okay.
Closed
I don't know why.
But it's not on the open
All right.
session.
That would not be a point of order. That would not be a closed session matter if it's a policy motion about leases.
Well, Ken, I didn't see the language on the agenda. Do you have it in front of you to read it?
No, I'm just trying to get my computer to cook. Bill, do you have it?
This is Ross.
Let me find it. Was it on the April 12th?
Okay, let's take control of this for a second. We got Ross Wisdom on the call. We are burning time of professionals, and we have one more thing on the agenda. Can I prevail upon you to let me put on this agenda? Because it wasn't on this agenda, so I didn't even see it to read it.
All right, if it's not on the agenda, maybe you can do it.
It wasn't.
Then that may have been move we table?
Yes.
No, not table. Somebody will find it and resend it to me, and we'll put it on the next agenda so we don't burn any more time while people are waiting, okay?
All right.
Thank you. So that will come back up at the somewhere near the top, folks, just so you're forewarned, okay? We've got a motion kicking around here. Ross is on a call with us. We had voted to go ahead and deal with the Elections Committee motion.
And Andy's on the call, too.
All right, Andy's on the call. So can we dispense with that one as quickly as possible and then get to the audit? Gentlemen, just stay with us. Let's see if we can get through this in like 5 minutes. Carolyn, can you read the Elections Committee report and the motion? Read the motion, please.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Bill, could you... Sorry, I'm trying to locate it here. The report was began with a motion passed on May 1st.
Do you need me to read it? I can pull it up, Carolyn.
Well, I have it in front of me. Do you want the whole report read or just the motion?
Please read the motion.
Whereas significant costs and technical problems have been associated with tallying ballots individually at 5 stations, and whereas this procedure is not required by the bylaws, therefore be it resolved that the Elections Committee endorses the concept of tallying ballots at a central location in a method that adheres to all bylaws requirements. This should not be construed as paying for observers' travel. And that passed by a vote of 8-5. There was a paragraph in the report about the change in protocol saving considerable amount of money, which I probably cannot address in numerical sense here, but it was considerable. Just not sending people around five different stations to do this. Past practices include distribution of station results on CDs and online for interested members. And that can certainly be continued. And any company hired to do the balloting and tallying will have security measures in place that will be part of their contract and their standard procedure for assuring us that the process is not tampered with. There was more, if you want that, in the motion, but that was the gist of the motion and the basic argument for it.
Okay, well, you read the actual motion language, so you're giving some of the supporting argument, right?
Yes, that's right. The actual motion language ended with observers travel and passed 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, you're motivating. Okay, very good. So it'll save us a significant amount of money? Is that what the conclusion of the Elections Committee? Agree with that one?
Yes. We had, at least one proposal that promised that. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Stack discussion before we go on to our...
Alex, this is Lydia.
Alex on the stack.
Okay. I got Alex and then I have Lydia. Go ahead, Alex.
It sounds like a good motion. I just want to make sure it does not preclude the use of electronic balloting for this election. The tabulation of mail ballots could certainly take place for those people who choose to have mail ballots, but I would like to see electronic ballots as the default and preferred method, and I hope the Elections Committee will consider that. Thank you. That's all.
May I?
Thank you, Alex.
On top, Dan on the stack, please. Dan on the stack.
Okay, Lydia, then Ken.
Yes, I serve on the Elections Committee. I was not presented with material that would definitively establish what the savings would be. Not that I don't think there would be some savings, but I don't think that it would justify the issues that would interfere with the confidence that we have to the degree that we have it by having it counted in front of the actual candidates and other listeners in the individual areas. But more than that, no one factored in the fact that if we do not go with electronic voting, which I do not support, and we have paper ballots, that any company is still going to probably have to pay their staff if we're talking about the central location being where the company is, and that would be far more expensive than having our volunteers, which take an enormous amount of time for anyone that's done this, in opening the ballots and counting the ballots and you know, processing, going through that entire process, among other things. But we weren't really given facts and figures because we haven't hired a particular company. This is just conjecture on the part of one possible company. I will be voting no on this.
Ken,
Carolyn on the stack, please.
Bill from the stack.
Thank you, Lydia. Okay, folks, and remember, our auditor and our attorney are on the call, so I'm going to let Ken. Carolyn, I'll put you back on after the people haven't spoken yet.
Thank you.
Did I hear Bill?
You heard me before, I hope.
Is that Dan?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't hear you before, Dan, but I'll put you on. Okay, whoever's cat's walking on the phone. All right, Ken, Dan, did I hear Bill or not?
Dan,
yes, before.
I did hear Bill. Okay, so Ken.
Dan was right after Lydia.
Oh, okay. Well, I did not hear him. Okay, so, okay, Dan, Ken, and then Carolyn again. Thank you. And then let's try to wrap it up.
Bill, and then Carolyn. Mm-hmm.
So I actually agree with what Alex said. But my concern is kind of doing this piecemeal. I think it makes sense to have an electronic voting system, to have the votes thereby all tabulated at the same place. If we have an electronic system, the tabulation could take place online, so observers from all over the place could watch. And I agree that electronic voting should be the default system. My only concern about the motion is that it's hard for me to visualize approving this in pieces rather than as a comprehensive proposal.
Arisa on the stack.
Okay, folks. Ken is next, and then Bill, Arisa,
no,
Carolyn.
No, silly. I don't want to spend all night debating this. I'll skip. But could we please have a time limit so if we do, so like
okay,
after 5 minutes, we get the vote on it
one
way or the other?
I'd like to maybe close the stack with Arisa unless someone else is feeling urgent. So,
Carolyn,
I'm sorry, it's Carolyn because you're the proponent. Okay, so Bill, Teresa, Carolyn.
I'm in favor of this, but I do think we need more time to talk about it, so I move that we postpone consideration of it.
Okay, thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
Well, I had three people. I'll take Campbell because I heard your your voice loud and clear. Is there any objection to postponing consideration?
Yes, no,
without objection.
Only after I speak. Thank you.
I'm objecting. Hello? Well, I'm objecting. Sorry, but I am.
Okay, who is that, Tracy?
Yeah, Campbell, you have to wait a minute before you start shouting without objection.
Okay, hold on, folks. Okay, so there's an objection. Bill, do you want to withdraw your motion for postponement, or shall we take a vote on that?
No, I'll withdraw it. Can I go ahead and speak, Bill?
Yeah, let's try to get through the stack, okay, folks? Let's just do this, and then let's vote. Okay, Bill, and then Teresa, and then Carolyn, unless somebody else wanted to speak. Go ahead, Bill.
I think this would save us a lot of money. I know. I've seen some of the proposals from election vendors, and you know, we're doing this the most complicated way possible. That's what we've been doing it. And it also, not only do we spend more money, we create more kinds of suspicions and potential problems. We've got local election supervisors, you know, that have to transport ballots by from each of the PO boxes in each station and keep them secure and keep them locked up. And if we should be doing that, we should be like work like other nonprofits, have everybody send their ballot to one central place, a company that's used to handling nonprofit elections, that whose future reputation depends on doing it competently and correctly and economically. And it just makes lots of sense for everybody.
Sorry, were you done, Bill?
Yes, I'm sorry, I'm done.
Okay, somebody's run some dishes there. All right, thank you, Bill. Teresa, go ahead, please, then Carolyn, and then let's vote, please. Teresa.
I hope that anyone that votes no to this would join the cost-cutting work group that is honestly trying to cut expenses. I have in my hand the ballot for Amnesty International. Electronic voting is all very good, but it won't save you money on postage. It might save you a little money of tallying if you don't offer people the option of doing a paper ballot. You have to send something out, and then it says, you can return this paper ballot or use this code to vote electronically. So you're going to have to send something out in the mail anyway. And I cannot imagine people not offering people the option of voting with paper. So I am in favor of this. Thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Carolyn, did you want to go ahead and wrap up?
Oh, we'll go yes, thank you. I think speaking to Lydia's objections, there are proposals that all the members of the committee have access to and should have seen or looked at and considered. And there's some very firm arguments, not speculations, by the people making the proposals to the effect exactly how much this would save us. And I'd be happy to share those with anybody on the board. If you just send me an email, I'll send you a link to the proposals, and you can look at them there. But they're very firm and very clear. I think that a lot of our problems have come from paper and from local factional disputes and distrust and so on. And turning over that portion to a committee would eliminate a source of a great many problems. And another issue, of course, is the way in which we present this to listeners. We must present it to listeners with the assurances of the company doing the security and the balloting. And, of course, they will get a paper option. They can opt to have everything sent to them by paper. But our major cost savings will be in not flying around a national supervisor plus a technical support person plus equipment to five stations in 10 or 15 days and doing all that work and being paid for all of that. The other cost saving is going to be in not having to mail candidate statements. If we can persuade listeners, which I think they will be sensibly agreeable to view these things online, we're very much ahead of the game. So I would really like you to urge you to do this. The elections committee is divided. So those of you who understand the importance of electronic balloting, I would suggest that this board address that issue as both a financial issue and a political issue. We really need to do this. And I don't think that if you wait for the elections committee, it may not happen. So So I would urge you to do this yourselves and approve this and approve electronic balloting as the default, as Alex suggests. Thank you.
Yes, Bill? Just to clarify, the motion doesn't say anything about electronic voting, one way or the other.